So if you'd like to have that Romans chapter 5 passage open in your Bible, we'll just look at this together. Paul's letter to the Romans is a very complicated treatise, theological treatise, but these opening verses are very simple and very clear. And let me just run through a few of the terms that are mentioned there before I trust to bring you a great and wonderful encouragement and application for the true Christian. So verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is establishing that the Christian's salvation is certain and sure. And the reason for that is because of this justification, the truth of justification by faith alone. And Paul goes on to say that there are three things that make the Christian's salvation absolutely sure and certain. First one is this justification, being made right in God's eyes through Jesus, so that God now regards the Christian as justified, as though they had never sinned. It's almost mind-blowing when you think of yourself, when I think of myself. God regards me in Christ as though I have never sinned. And when that happens to a person, he or she then is made at peace with God. Before that happens, the sinner was an enemy of God, a rebel, against God, didn't want God. But having been justified through faith in Jesus, then the second thing that happens to us, as Paul mentions here, is that we're brought into a peace with God. And then having that peace with God then means that the Christian has obtained access to God by faith through the Lord Jesus. So three things that make our salvation sure. We've been justified, we've been made at peace with God, and we've been given access to God. Verse 2, through whom, that's the Lord Jesus, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. The NIV is pretty good at this point, because it speaks of our Lord Jesus and it says, through whom we have gained access by faith. The truth is, of course, that before we became a Christian, we had no access to God at all. But now, because of this justification and being brought into peace with God, we're no longer rebels, we're no longer enemies of God. You and I, as Christians, have access to the Almighty God. And don't let that just pass over you. You're a true believer here this morning. You have access, the ear, the blessing, the power of God is yours. What does it mean, really, when we say that we have access? Well, the idea in the original language is of a person being presented to royalty. You have access to this church. You've come in. Nobody will stop you. You can come in and go out, but you've no access to the Queen. None at all. You cannot just wander in and say, I'm so-and-so, and I want a little chat with the Queen. You've got no access to the Queen at all. And the apostle here is saying that before a person is made right with God through the forgiveness of Jesus, they can't get to God. There's no access for them at all. They're kept outside. But now, God's Son brings the Christian in. It's a wonderful picture. It's as though the Lord Jesus takes you by the hand right into the very presence of Almighty God and introduces you to the Father. It's a wonderful picture. And I suppose if you're like me, or I suppose this thought crosses most of our minds, but how can I go into the presence of Almighty Sovereign God? I know what I'm like. You don't know what I'm like, but I know what I'm like. You can't see inside, but God can see inside. He knows what I'm like. How can I ever go into the presence of a holy God as a deep-dyed sinner? And the answer is, here comes Jesus. Jesus, God's own Son. And it's as though, as I'm brought into the presence of the King of Kings, the Almighty God, that Jesus gives me his clothes of righteousness, of being right. So that now, as God the Father looks at me, he doesn't see me as a deep-dyed sinner. He sees me clothed in the purity and holiness of his Son Jesus. That's what this access is all about. It's through Jesus, and he covers that, our filthy rags of sin, with his own righteousness. And so that song that we've just sung says, before the throne of God, I have a strong and a perfect, a holy, spotless, pure plea. It's the great high priest whose name is love, and he's the one who ever lives and pleads for you and for me. And these verses say that this access to God brings us into God's grace. That's what it says. That we've gained access by faith into this grace into which we now stand. So what's this grace thing? Well, it means that through Jesus as our Saviour, who justifies us, makes us friends with God, no longer enemies, and that we have peace with God, we're brought into a family relationship. We're children of God. We can receive all the blessings, the great smile of Father God on our lives. We can receive all his goodness and kindness showered and poured into our lives, which we don't deserve. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve that God should bless us and smile on our lives and shower our lives with goodness and kindness. Before we believed the gospel message, before we repented and received Jesus' forgiveness, God regarded us in a legal way. We were sinners. We were against him. We had no time for him. We didn't want him in our lives. We ran our own lives, thank you very much. We don't want anybody else interfering. We were against God. And so God regarded us in a legal way. But now for the true Christian, we're no longer under law, says this verse, but we're under grace. God doesn't look at us in a legal way anymore. We've been brought before the court of the Lord Jesus, who's our high priest, and we've been pronounced as not guilty. We've been freed, set free. See, that's the terrible thing about the position of the unforgiven sinner, the non-Christian, is that they're still God's enemies. They still live each day under the wrath of God, because God cannot smile on sin or the sinner. But for the Christian, having been justified, which you all know is just as if I'd never sinned, is that amazing? When I think of my life, my track record, to think that that God sees me as though I've never sinned, that I've never let him down in any way at all, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Now God looks upon us with delight as his own children. He loves to receive us. He loves that you're here this morning. It thrills his heart. He's open to receive you. He loves it when you come to him and speak to him. You're his child. You see, part of my life, a very long part of my life, I had a job that took me away from home a lot. And before mobile phones, I used to occasionally ring home to see how things were. And occasionally I would hear one of my children say, "Is it my dad? Is it my dad? Let me speak to him." And I loved that. I loved it when one of the children or both of them would come and say hello. I hadn't seen them for maybe a fair long time, and I loved it. And the picture that the Apostle Paul paints here is that the Father loves it when his children come into his presence, when they come to worship him, when they speak to him. He loves it. And the reason that he loves it is that we're no longer outside. We're brought right into his presence. Grace. It's God's grace. We don't deserve that. None of us deserve it. But grace, you know, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. It cost Jesus everything, cost the Father everything, so that you and I might receive the blessings that we don't deserve. We deserve nothing at all from the hand of God. So now as we receive these glorious blessings of forgiveness, of love, of acceptance, of adoption right into the family of God, being made a son and a daughter, it's all of God's grace. And it's in that grace that we stand. Thank you. And of course, we didn't earn this by being good. We didn't earn this by being a bit more religious than other people. We didn't earn it by, you know, being a little bit brighter than others. It's all of God's grace. And so the hymn says, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He, Jesus, only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. It's all of him, nothing of us. And for the Christian, as we think of this, of the grace of God, all that God has done for an undeserving sinner like me, then our hearts are warm to him. And we're glad to come and worship him. It's not a duty. It's something that we love to do, to thank him. So Christians are sinners who in their lostness came to Jesus and asked him to forgive them and to take their life and to rescue them. And Jesus does. And he rescues and forgives and saves and lifts up and cleanses and brings a person to peace with God. And so the Christian can sing that to him. Well, I say they can sing that hymn. I can't ever remember singing it or quoting it. But you'll know it. It has those lines, "You're coming to a king, so it's your king, it's your father, so large petitions with you bring. For God's grace and power are such, you can never ask too much." So that's the grace of God. It's not some theological word. It's the truth that you have access to the King of Kings. And you can go right into his presence through Jesus Christ. And there is nothing that you can't ask him. Nothing that would be too big for God to deal with. And so I ask myself and I ask you this morning, is that you? Do you live each day as a child of the King? Not just to hear a little sermon about it, but do you come to him every day? Do you speak to him? He longs to hear from you as his child. Do you speak to him? Do you ask for his help every day, for him to direct you? You know you're prone to fall and to get so busy you'll forget. So do you come and say, Lord, help me. Receive my thanks. You're so good. All through my life you've been so faithful. Do you live like that? Do you enjoy knowing him? Do you really enjoy knowing him? You know lots of things, but do you really enjoy knowing that God is your Father and Jesus is your Saviour? Do you enjoy the security that that brings? That whatever happens in life, and life's a lot of ups and downs, that whatever happens, Jesus says, I will never, never, never leave you. Never. I'll always be with you. Do you enjoy that? Does it thrill you? Or is it, as it can so easily become, it's just pop in to church on a Sunday. Do you realise that Jesus brought you into his family, into God's family, so that you would live no longer in poverty, no longer in spiritual poverty, but in massive blessing and encouragement? Because Jesus proclaimed, you remember, that he would give each and every one of his own children living water. It's alive in us. It's living. It's not something we pop into on a Sunday. It's something that lives in a Christian. And he says that he wants it to swell up, spring up in our lives so that it bursts forth as we live for him. All the riches of God's grace are yours as a Christian. So don't allow Satan to lower our eyes, to be totally taken up with this world. It's holiday time now, and we enjoy the things that God has given us. He's given us so much, he's given them that we would enjoy. We have all those things. But for the Christian, that's not life. It's a part of life, but that's not life for the Christian. This is life, that you are a son and a daughter of the living God. That's our life. The God who ever lives to bless you, God who loves you even when you fail and provides for you. And it's not a kind of fairy tale. This has been the reality and experience of millions of people down the years. And just to make it clear, when I speak about God's blessing, I'm not particularly talking about material things. Thank God he does supply our needs. What I'm talking about is that God blesses you with this wonderful joy and security. That as Kath recovers in hospital, it's tough, it's hard, pain, separation, being alone in a ward. She can know the joy of the Lord in that situation. What can bring a joy like that? It's the joy that she knows that God is her Father. Jesus is her Saviour. No one can take that away. And that her home is prepared as mine and yours as a Christian. That Jesus is already doing that. And these things bring us that great joy in our hearts. And you can check if you're in this grace of God. One of the ways to check is by how you pray. I suppose one of the first things you can check is if you pray at all. But I assume that we do pray. Does our praying resolve and revolve around all the things that we need? Is that your prayer? every time you come to God, you come to Him because there are things that you need. There are situations that need dealing with. There are difficulties in your life. Or do you come amazed at His grace? Every time you come and speak to Him, you can't help yourself just saying thank you that Jesus saved a wretch like me. And it just blows your mind away. Why should He have done that for me? You can tell by how you pray if you're in this grace of God. And so finally, I'll just look at how the Apostle Paul ends this explanation of what justification by faith means. He says that now the Christian is enabled to stand. Through whom? Through Jesus. We have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And here's another thing that should help you to leave here this morning just rejoicing. That, you see, what he's saying there when he says this grace in which we now stand is that he's underlining the certainty of the Christian's salvation. But if you're a Christian, you will have your ups and downs. You will have your times when it seems like a mountaintop thing for you, and other times when it's just an ordinary thing, you know, and other times when it's almost nothing, when you lose it. And the thing that the Apostle Paul is saying here is that we don't slip in and out of God's grace. You don't slip in and out of God's grace. It's God's grace is the very thing, it's because you don't deserve it. That's what His grace is. And so you're not in His grace when you're doing well. You know, you've had a really good prayer time, or you managed to say a word or two about the Lord Jesus to someone else. And so you're really in God's grace. You know that He's happy with you then. But then, of course, when you've messed it all up, when it's all dry and dull for you, then, of course, you're not in God's grace then. You're backslidden and you're out of it, and you've got somehow to find a way back in. No, the Apostle Paul says that God's grace enables the Christian to stand. You're in it, it's secure, you can't lose yourself, you can't lose the grace of God. And so, later on in this letter, Apostle Paul says that God has totally committed Himself to you. Listen how he puts it a few chapters further on. He says for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the truth of it. That's the grace in which you stand. He makes a great list there, does the Apostle Paul, of various things, and then just in case he's missed anything, he says, I'm convinced that there was nothing in all creation that could ever separate the Christian from the love of God. And then, it's a great theme of the Apostle Paul, and I could keep you here most of the morning. I'll just mention another one. He says in Ephesians, writing to the Ephesians, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will stand your ground. And after you have done everything, you will stand. It's a great theme of the Apostle Paul. He wants you to know, if you're a Christian here this morning, that your salvation is sure and certain. No matter how you feel this morning, no matter why you've come, if you are a true believer, your salvation is sure. So Jesus comes and he says that no one and nothing can ever pluck you, my child, from my hand. Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful for the Christian? That you are secure in the very hand of God. So enjoy your coffee. But don't make that the reason for your gladness. Be rejoicing and thankful over this, that you belong to the God of all grace. And so, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand secure, held by the very power of God. Last Sunday evening, we sang a song with 8 verses, a hymn with 8 verses about the grace of God. And one of those verses says, "Praise him who broke the chain that held me in sin's domain and set me free again. So sing and rejoice." May the Lord encourage us from his word. If you are here as a true believer, you are held in the very grace of God by your Heavenly Father. So let's close our time together now as we sing number 31.